We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma stealing the boys and calves. So we read text 64. I don't know, I have no idea about the Sanskrit. Shanaira totaya vimrijalo chane. Mukunda mudvikshaya vinamra kandara. Kritanjali prashraya van samahita. Save patur gadayailatelaya. Shanai, gradually, ata, then, uthaya, rising, vimrija, wiping, lochane, his two eyes, mukundam, admukunda, Lord Shri Krishna, udviksha, looking up, Vinamra Kandara, his neck bent, Krita Anjali, with folded hands, Prashrayavan, very humble, Samahita, his mind concentrated, Savepatu, his body trembling, Gadgadaya, faltering. Ailata, Brahma began to offer praise. Ilaya, with words. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Then, rising very gradually and wiping his two eyes, Lord Brahma looked up at Mukunda. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated, and his body trembling, very humbly began with faltering words to offer praises to Lord Krishna. Purport. Brahma, being very joyful, began to shed tears, and he washed the lotus feet of Krishna with his tears. Repeatedly, he fell and rose as he recalled the wonderful activities of the Lord. After repeating obeisances, for a long time, Brahma stood up and smeared his hands over his eyes. Srila Vishwana Chakravati Thakur comments that the word lochane indicates that with his two hands he wiped the two eyes on each of his four faces. Seeing the Lord before him, Brahma began to offer prayers with great humility, respect, and attention. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 13th chapter, of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Stealing of the Boys and Calves by Brahma. So here is the last verse of this chapter, this section where Brahma gets the darshan of Vrindavan. And Lord Brahma is quite overwhelmed with seeing Vrindavan. And we should also be overwhelmed by the desire to see the real Vrindavan and to be in Krishna's presence. So there are some conditions. In the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva pavebhyo mokshayam shami mashuchaham. Bundle all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So you have to give up everything if you want to get to the spiritual world. Everything. If you have the idea that you want to do something here in the material world, then you probably have to stay here and do that thing. And you cannot go to Vrindavan, to Goloka Vrindavan. So you have to give up our concocted ideas. And as Srila Prabhupada very nicely explained in the class yesterday, Do you believe the Shastra or do you believe the Americans? Some gentleman came with some ideas, and Srila Prabhupada just smashed the point over and over again. Do you believe the Shastra or do you believe someone else? So whatever topic comes up, we should ask ourselves same question. What do the Shastras say about this topic? Yes, I have my ideas, I have my opinions. Yes, yes, very nice. But what do the Shastras say? For example, in the introduction to Shish Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada speaks a bit about Vedic India. And he says that in India, when he was raised, he was a child, if someone would say something, the other person would say, do you have a Shastric injunction for this? Can you prove what you're saying from the Shastra? And if you can't, nobody would take you seriously. So that's Vedic society. do you have some Shastric references for what to say? As jokingly, we were talking about putting pineapple in the sabji. So we were jokingly saying that, asking Bhaktavatsala Nitai Prabhu, that, do you have a Shastric reference for this pineapple? That's a joke, okay, but maybe there is in some books, some cooking books. But the point is, we should think like that in general. So last time I was creating some waves, some reactions about the, because we were discussing the family topic. This is a very good topic if you want to create some waves. And creating some waves is good. You know, I was in Sankirtan and I met this person, and he got some Srila Prabhupada, some of Srila Prabhupada's books before, and he said he found the books provoking. So I said, yeah, that's good. That's very good. I was thinking this is very good, because the modern society is in these Kali Yuga ideas. So our books should be provoking. We should say something else. If we say whatever they think they want to hear, then that's not preaching, you know. Like, I mean, of course, you can massage, you can just, yeah, you're so wonderful. And usually when we distribute the books, we don't say so much. We let Srila Prabhupada say these things. But eventually, if we're preaching, we should say, oh, look, you have no idea what's going on. In a nice way. Of course, we don't go around and we just looking for a fight, and we're intelligent about this. We're like, yeah, 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 massage. But eventually, we should say something different than this society. We're not meant to adapt to this society. And we should also keep in mind that the Shastras are always right, and the modern society is always wrong. Of course, if they say something according to the Shastra, then they are right also. But usually they are wrong. So we should have this in mind. And when we think of several topics, we should not think, oh, what does my neighbor think? What is? We should say, what does the Shastra think about this topic? So I will take some more provocative topics, more provocative incidents from the Shastra regarding this family incident, family topic, and what's the role between family in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so first incident is related to Lord Nityananda and Shivananda Sena. They were traveling with a big group, like they did every year. The devotees from Navadvip would go to Jagannath Puri for Ratha Yatra. It was a big group. And they didn't have airplanes at that point. They didn't even have cars. So they would travel. It would take some time. And Shivananda Sena was the manager. He would organize this trip, and he would take care of everything. So one day, Shivananda Sena was paying the taxes, that there was a toll and they had to pay the taxes, and all the devotees passed, and Shivananda Sena stayed behind to pay the taxes, to organize. Yeah. This probably took some negotiation there. So the party went to the village, and then they stayed out under a tree, and no one could arrange for their accommodation and their prasadam, because Shivananda Sena was the only one who was a good manager. So Nityananda Prabhu was very hungry. He became upset. Lord Nityananda, I mean, his and he began calling Shivananda Sena ill names. And then he said, "Shivananda Sena has not arranged for my residence," he complained. "And I am so hungry I could die. Because he has not come, I curse his three sons to die." Heavy, you know, like, like, wow. And of course, this quite some impact. Lord Nityananda, who is God, curses your three sons to die. It's like heavy. So Shivananda Sena's wife began to cry. And then Shivananda Sena returned from paying the taxes. And his wife informed me, "Lord Nityananda has cursed our sons to die because his quarters have not been provided." So he's informed. So what does Shivananda Sena say? He say, "Oh my God, we have to reject Lord Nityananda because he's in a bad mood." No, he says, very, very extreme case. It's good to take these extreme cases that we understand the principle, not that we try to imitate. We cannot imitate Shivananda Sena. And Shivananda Sena replied, "You crazy woman, why are you needlessly crying? Let my three sons die for all the inconvenience we have caused Nityananda Prabhu." Very advanced state of consciousness. You know, if Krishna wants my sons to die, Hare Krishna, joy. That's total surrender. Okay, let's read this also. After saying this, Shivananda Sena went to Nityananda Prabhu, who then stood up and kicked him. So he went to Lord Nityananda, and Nityananda kicked him. And very pleased, Shivananda Sena, how he's like, "Oh." Very pleased at being kicked, Shivananda Sena quickly arranged for a milkman's house to be the Lord's residence. Shivananda Sena touched the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu and led him to his residence. After giving the Lord his quarters, Shivananda Sena, being very pleased, spoke as follows: "Today you have accepted me as your servant and have probably punished me for my offense." This very advanced state. We can learn from this the proper attitude of a disciple. You know, sometimes the spiritual masters come and he wants to say something, and we get upset. How dare he say something? Like, no. And the spiritual master says something, then you're like, "Okay, sorry, Maharaj, I'll try to correct this." There's a lot you can learn about the attitude of a disciple, and of course, about the attitude of towards family. Yes, family is okay, but if Krishna says that my sons have to die, Hare Krishna. It's his role. Heavy example. No, like, of course, if we read it and we don't go into it and we don't think that maybe it could apply in our lives, yeah. That's nice. And that's same thing, a similar example is there in the Christian tradition. There's Abraham, who As far as I remember, after he took some effort to have a child, to have a, and he has this child, and God appears and he says, "I want you to do a sacrifice. And in this sacrifice, I want you to sacrifice your child." It's like, what? Very, very heavy. And what does Abraham say? Oh, no. God has a bad day. I mean, of course, this is in the Old Testament. This is, can be interesting, you know, like Old Testament. But it's the same principle. And Abraham says, okay, no problem. God wants me to do this, I will do it. No questions asked, no why, or I have different opinions. No, I will do it. So he takes his child, he goes to the place where he's instructed to do the sacrifice, he prepares the wood, he prepares the altar and there, and he puts the child on the altar, he takes his knife out, and then an angel comes and he said, stop. It's okay. we're okay. And then a lamb comes and he does this sacrifice with the lamb and so on. I mean, of course, you can think if this sacrifice is bona fide and so on, many things. But the same principle is there, you know, like Abraham was like, okay, you know, God said I should do a sacrifice with my son, I will do it, no problem. Heavy, huh? The principle is important, not so much the examples. But this should be sometimes this is used in philosophy, that you give an extreme example to prove a point that okay, there's what are the priorities? Okay, there's other part of the story, the other side. There's this example of Raghunatha Bhatta. Raghunatha Bhatta, who is one of the who later became one of the six Goswamis, he had his parents and he was staying with Lord Chaitanya for 8 months, and then Lord Chaitanya gives an instruction to Raghunatha Bhatta to go home, and he says, "Do not marry." But he also says, "When you return home, serve your aged father and mother, who are devotees, and try to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure Vaishnava who has realized God." So Lord Chaitanya instructs him to go home and serve his parents. And in the purport, the purport to this text is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada is very direct in this purport. He says, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have never advised Raghunatha Bhatta to serve ordinary parents. But since his parents were Vaishnavas, the Lord advised him to serve them." Very heavy statement. And then he continues, he says, why shouldn't ordinary parents be served? And then he quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Gurur Nasasyat, Svajanon Nasasyat, very famous. It says that one who cannot deliver his dependent from the path of birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a relative, a father, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Everyone naturally gets a father and mother at the time of birth, but the real father and mother are those who can release their offspring from the clutches of imminent death. This is possible only for parents advanced in Krishna consciousness. So he gives a clear point. Okay, what's the point of family? Family should be an instrument to help everyone become Krishna conscious. The duty of the father, the duty of the mother is to make their children Krishna conscious. And otherwise, I mean, something is there, but... And he continues, he quotes another verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He He says, the following verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu confirms the uselessness of serving ordinary parents. Very heavy. I mean, it's very very heavy and very provoking, you know, like statements by Srila Prabhupada. Said, one should perform only those activities, either worldly or prescribed by Vedic rules and regulations, which are favorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So we should do whatever, only these things which are related to Krishna consciousness. So what do these stories have in common? They tell us that actually the most important thing for us is to satisfy the Lord, to satisfy Krishna. So this is our only purpose in life. And the other duties we have in some way or another are not so important. You're not going to go to the spiritual world because you gave some food to your children. You're not. You're not going to the spiritual world by helping an old lady, you know, like you're going to go to the spiritual world by serving Krishna. If Krishna is happy, then you can go to the spiritual world. So that's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Abandon all duties and surrender to me. This is Krishna's request. Of course, we should understand that this is a gradual process. There's a what is the truth, and there is also how do we apply it. And most of us, we're not on Shivananda Sena's level. So we apply it more or less gradually. But the problem is, I mean, normally you do some family duties and you do some Krishna conscious duties. But the problem is that with time, you should do more duties for Krishna and less of the other duties. And the problem with the other duties is not that, because you can say, why not do both? You know, like you can do this duty and that duty, and yeah, some duty for Krishna. Why not do all of these duties? Well, it's simple. They take some time. Usually, all these duties, they take some time. And it's the same time you need for Krishna consciousness. You can... life is very short, extremely short. And you cannot just afford to waste time. And all the nature of energy is to always expand. You want to renovate... I always give the example of renovating my apartment. I thought it's going to be 2 weeks. And after... 2 weeks, there was 2 weeks left. It was already a joke, you know. Like after 1 month, we thought, okay, 2 weeks more and we're done. And after 2 months, they were like, okay, 2 more weeks. And then at some point, we said, okay, enough. It's done. It is, it isn't, I don't care. It's done. It's finished. Shh. So that's the nature of all this, all our projects. You start with something and then it expands, it expands, it expands, it expands, and they're like, wow, there was some Krishna? You're like, oh my God, you know, like there was some Krishna. And of course, if you're renovating, you chant some rounds, you know, like somehow, shing, shing, ram, 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 you don't have time to go to meet the devotee, associate with the devotee, you don't have time for anything. So and then you meet some this sometimes you even meet this some sort of devotees. We go if you go in Sankirtan, you meet so many people, and there are some people, some who are somehow they identify, okay, I'm a devotee, and but you see they have so many duties. They have this duty. Oh, you know, I have to go to work. Okay, okay, good. You have to work. Do you work in the weekend? No, but I have my music project, and I have this project, and I have this project, and I have this other project. And you know, you're like looking there, and you're like, and they don't have time. You know, because they have all these projects, all these things, they don't have time to visit a temple, they don't have the time to associate with the devotees, they don't have time to chant Hare Krishna. Because, I mean, they are some sort of devotees, but their priorities is completely messed up, you know, like, it's a complete mess. And associating with the devotees, serving Krishna, should be top priority. And some devotees say, they say, the top priority is to keep the top priority the top priority. So we should, because the tendency of Maya is to always mess up our priorities. Like, Krishna consciousness, very, very important. Yes, no problem. Yeah, but now you have to do this, and after you'll be Krishna conscious, no problem. So it's always the tendency to mess things up, you know, like, okay, you know, you have many priorities and Krishna is top priority, but right now you have to do something else. What does that mean, you know? It means that right now Krishna is not top priority. Maybe later. So it's this is, if someone comes, tells you, okay, this weekend I have time to meet with you. And then he calls you, oh, something came up. All right, good. Maybe next weekend. Okay, next weekend. And next weekend he calls you, you know, something came up. Okay. And then, I don't know, but next weekend for sure, you know, like. And then he calls you, you know, this weekend something came up. Then you're like, look, man, you're just not serious. So Krishna also... he's thinking a bit. I mean, of course, Krishna is very tolerant and he's doing this since millions of lifetimes. He's like thinking, when is this guy going to become serious? You know, like, since millions of lifetimes, he's just telling me that, yes, I will do something for you. But something came up. All right. That's the point. We have so many duties, of course, this duty, that duty. But sometimes people have this dutifulness in all so many fields. You go to the universities, you try to stop people going to school. They cannot stop because they have a duty. They have to go to school. People are in their lunch break. They go to lunch and they have to go back. They cannot stop. They cannot talk with you because they have a duty. They are very dutiful. Yeah, okay. But how about your duty to Krishna? So, that's the point. So, dutifulness in general is not bad. You know, like it's not bad. It's a good platform. This is the same platform Arjuna starts from. In theory, of course, Arjuna is a pure devotee. But Arjuna, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he plays on the platform of Dharma. I know I have a duty, but I don't know which is my duty. You don't have to explain Arjuna that, okay, Arjuna, you know, you have a duty. No, Arjuna knows he has a duty. But he's just messed up. What's my duty? What's my real duty? So if someone is dutiful, then when he reads Bhagavad Gita, he'll understand, oh, actually, I'm very dutiful in going to work, in going to school, in going to this, in doing this, in doing this. But I should be dutiful towards Krishna. That's the most important. So if you're dutiful before Krishna consciousness, then that's very good. But you should be dutiful for Krishna. And of course, if you're a hippie before Krishna consciousness, you might become a Hare Krishna hippie, you know, like, or if you're a spoiled brat, like they say, before Krishna consciousness, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you will be also spoiled and you'll treat your spiritual guides like you treat your parents, and it's not going to be good for you. So this dutifulness is good. But just it needs to find a proper channel, proper direction. So it's good to have this idea of family, to take care of family. But we should also understand that devotees are our real family. Of course, in Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami's case, this was a very good example that family were also devotees. So, of course, Lord Chaitanya said, look, you have to serve your parents, who are devotees. So you have to serve the devotees. That's the point. So I'll just read this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, the occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So he said that if you do your duty, this dutifulness might be useful, but the duty itself might be, in many cases, useless. So, anyway, so it's important to do the real duty, which is towards Krishna. Jai. Hope it wasn't too provoking. If there are some comments and concerns, questions, please. You wanted to say something, probably? Yeah, I don't know if you want.
Somebody thinking, I do this, then take Krishna. Then I do this, then Krishna. But he also takes his Krishna always. Always thinking Krishna. He thinking, I do this, finish, and then take Krishna. Then do this, then take chanting. Then do this, then chanting. He also thinking always Krishna.
Yeah, that thinking is good, but he should also get, after he finish, he should also chanting, you know. But of course, in Kali Yuga, because we're so, we're such a mess, it's said somewhere, I think in a purport in Bhagavatam, that even if you think of coming to the temple, you still get some pious credit. So of course, and if you think of something else, then you don't get the reaction.
Of course, he come to temple and then chanting and also offers and devotees.
Yeah, and of course, there's some benefit, but eventually, it's probably not enough to go back to the spiritual world. You know, like, and this life is very short. You know, it's short. You don't know when you're done. You know, like we always think that, all right, we do this for 20 years and then we'll be serious in Krishna consciousness. I meet this some sort of a devotee. He says, yeah, I know I finished this and then I will be full. I will move to a temple, but maybe you don't have enough time. Maybe you know, and this thinking that in the future. When you come there, you'll be also there will be something else that you have to do. And in the future, it's never, you know, like. And I have I know someone in Romania. He just passed away. You know, like he was my age. He was healthy, somehow healthy, and he just there's a complex situation, and he just. Finished, you know, and his whole life he came to, he was coming sometimes to the programs and he was speculating and was like, he was not taking things seriously. And he thought, yeah, later maybe. And finish. So, of course, I mean, in next life he will have the opportunity, but who knows, you know, better do something now. Next life, yeah, but next life he also, you know, he will be like, yeah, now, but a bit later. There's this story of this Narada Muni meets Lord Vishnu, I think, and he's saying, you're talking about a devotee, and Narada Muni says, I think he will come very soon. He said, no, he's not ready. And then Lord Vishnu says, Narada Muni says, surprised, oh, how is not ready? He looks very serious. No, no, just you go, you don't believe me? Okay, you go to him and you tell him, I'm ready to take him back. Lord Vishnu sent me to take you back. And just tell him, and I'm ready to take him back. You just go and tell him, look, we're going back to the spiritual, let's go. You know the story. And then he comes to this guy, he says, Lord Vishnu sent me to take you back to the spiritual. She said, yeah, yeah, that's very nice, amazing, very nice. But right now, my mom and my wife have only one kitchen. And you know, when you have two Matajis in the same kitchen, it's not going to work, you know, like, so give me some time. give me some time. I will build another kitchen, and then, and I don't remember the details of the story. But he's again and again and coming, and he's like, okay, Lord Vishnu sent me to take you to the spiritual world. He said, no, no, but now, you know, my children are just small, so let me take some time that they are grown up. And again and again and again and again. Until, you know, like... So, yeah. Enjoy. All right. Thank you so much for your tolerance. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.